Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinalam, the most happening place on the planet. And yes, the 88th birthday celebrations in Prashanti are over, but it is still not over in our hearts and minds, at least within me. Those vibes are still there. That energy is still lingering around, and there are so many still around from so many countries, and I'm really actually still sort of soaking in all that we experienced in this last week or so, starting with Akhand Bhajan on November 9th and the marvelous dance presentation on November 18th till the last performance on November 25th when we had a talk by Dr. Narendra Reddy, chairman of the Prashanti Council, followed by a beautiful Veena recital. And for us at Radio Sai, this was simply a gratifying experience, not only because we were broadcasting these programs live on our website and radio, but also because of another reason. The most exhilarating moments for us were when we received every day for the last 15 days the prayers and promises, the resolutions and determinations of people all over the world in response to our request to send us what is the one thing that you want to change in your life to make yourselves happier and Swami proud. And so many letters and emails poured in. There were promises like, Swami, I will stop eating non-veg and also give up even that occasional drink. There were some youngsters saying, Swami, I will stop being jealous of others and do everything to reduce my unwanted and unnecessary desires. There were little children writing, Swami, I will no more quarrel with my brother or sister. Swami, I will be obedient to my parents. Well, the list is long and beautiful. Each one of these is so inspiring. You can find all of these on our website, dear listeners. In fact, there is one very cute audio track sent to us by a little one, Sai Gayatri from Texas, USA. This is not a resolution by this little one, but she's chanting the introductory Vedic hymn, Gananam Tva. And in the end, she wishes Swami heartily. This is her sweet offering to Swami on His birthday. And when I heard this, I just could not but listen to it again and again and again. This is so enchanting.
Gananam Tva Ganapati Gum Avamahi Kavim Kavinam Upamishyavastamam Jeshrajam Brahmana Brahmana Svataana Shinvannotibhi Siddha Sadhanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vaje Bhir Vajini Vati Dinama Vitya Avatur Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Thanks, Swami. Happy birthday, Swami.
So that is Sai Gayatri from Texas, USA. So reading, listening and watching all these responses indeed has been for us a very exciting and really elevating experience. And I'm sure it must have been the same for all those of you who have gone through this on our website and read through these declarations. When we see someone like us is deciding to change his or her life for the better with a firm determination, it does have a cascading effect on us. And this passes on from one to other. And as we had promised, when we started this initiative, we did make a beautiful card with all these prayers. And in fact, the photos of everyone who contributed were artistically arranged inside this huge card. And with deep gratitude and humble prayers, we offered it to Swami on the morning of November 23rd. You can see pictures of this moment, that memorable moment on birthday morning on our website. And apart from this, there were plenty of other things happening in the studio during this birthday season. Another beautiful creative offering to Swami was the new ringtones. Yes, you can find them on our website. And this time it was not just the regular ringtones, but my musician colleague Anirudh along with our sound engineer Dhananjay came up with an alarm ringtone, the music to wake you up in the morning. And I must say, I really love this. Listen to this. And then we will talk to Anirudh. He's here with us. We will know from him about this ringtone and what is the story behind this beautiful creation. So that was the alarm ringtone, and Anirudh is here with us in the studios. Welcome, Anirudh, to this live program, our Thursday live program. So tell us, you've made so many ringtones before. In fact, we have an entire collection of ringtones on our website, but why this time an alarm ringtone?
First of all, thank you, Vishu, for inviting me to the studios. First, I would like to thank Swami, because he has chosen me as an instrument in the studio as a part of his mission. So we started this ringtone concept well before last birthday.
Yes.
We started with 5 ringtones.
Correct.
With Swami's bhajans. And then we went on with many instrumental bhajans. And then since this time we thought we'll try something new.
Yes.
And by Swami's grace, initially in the hostel, when I stayed in the hostel, we used to get up hearing Swami's voice.
Yes.
They used to play Kanda Kanda Antara, all those Swami's
Padyams. Yes.
So it was so nice to get up hearing Swami's voice. It was so soothing, and you'll just instantly get up.
Yes.
And you'll feel so blissful in the morning.
What a beautiful morning.
Yeah. So that was there in my mind, that why not make something starting with Swami's voice, gentle voice waking you up.
Wow.
So that's how this Prema Swarupalara, like that.
Yes.
Swami's gentle voice waking
that's
you up.
That's really amazing. Yes.
And there is a reason behind why we had put twice in the beginning, Prema Swarupalara. People might think Swami has already told once Prema Swarupalara.
Yes.
So it's like anybody, you wake up somebody,
yes.
It's like, Bishu, wake up. Bishu, wake up.
Yes.
So you tell the second time, Bishu.
Yes. Because, so you know, like, it's not easy to shake off the slumber.
Yeah. So that's why, like, Swami is telling Prema Swarupalara, Prema Swarupalara. Again, yes. Swami is telling you to wake you up.
Get up.
And one more thing which I had in my mind is, generally, we sing Suprabhatam to wake the Lord in us.
Yes.
Okay, so this is like, it's like Swami wakes us up.
Waking us up.
Yeah, so that is like, it's a reverse
yes.
concept of
so,
Swami
you know,
waking us up.
I mean, Swami himself is waking you up, so you better get up.
Yeah, definitely, you have no other choice.
Yes.
And it is so, I felt nothing, this start the day with love,
yes.
fill the day with love. It is so apt as an alarm tone. And I hope people enjoy listening to it and keeping it as alarm tone.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have already begun to do that. But Anirudh, what are your future ideas for the coming months, for the forthcoming festivals? Because, you know, it's really heartening to hear the thought process behind this, you know, why you had Swami's voice in it and what was in your mind. So I really want, I'm very curious to know what is going on in the back of your mind so that we'll get a perhaps sneak preview of what is going to come.
Yeah, Bishu, I was thinking, instrumental ringtones is one side, it is, you can keep on the phone and it keeps ringing. But keeping something like Swami's voice, that makes more impact I am feeling.
Yes.
Since it started with the alarm tone and the love is my form, that is yes. another ringtone. And what I am thinking in the future is we might come up with more Swami's voice ringtones,
yes.
like Swami telling Gayatri.
Okay.
Chanting Gayatri Mantra.
Swami chanting Gayatri Mantra.
Yeah, Swami chanting Gayatri Mantra. It's very powerful.
Yes.
And there are so many versions of Gayatri Mantra going around in the world.
Correct.
But Swami has told one intonation, yes, and the way it should
come
be sung
directly from God, the way to chant Gayatri Mantra.
So I'm feeling that should be popularized among the people, and
yes, right, definitely. I think that will really help people to spiritualize their life, to always remember. I think every time you answer the phone every day 50 times, 100 times, and every time you listen to Bhagwan's voice, I think that is definitely would help everyone on the spiritual path.
And moreover, I request listeners to please give their feedback to us.
Yes.
Listening to the ringtone, any feedback, be it critical, anything, just mail it to us and we'll incorporate their ideas. New ideas, I welcome new ideas.
Yes.
And with Swami's grace, we'll make it more and more attractive so that they enjoy it.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Anirudh. So that is the...
Thank you, Bishop.
A request from Anirudh, dear listeners, please do download this, and even as you use this, please do not fail to open your inbox and drop an email. Tell us what you feel about this. What are the new ideas that come up in your mind? What is it that you would like? What sort of ringtones that you would like? What sort of alarm tones that you would like? And Anirudh would be very happy to work along with his team in the studios and make an offering which is something that you feel which will help you in your journey to Bhagwan. So please do send feedback, and do, if you have not downloaded, you can do it now. And apart from this alarm ringtone, we also had a normal ringtone by Anirudh, and this was also one where he embedded Bhagwan's voice in it. So listen to this now. So from these tiny and lovely compositions, let's move on to the big concert in Sai Kulwant Hall on November 24, 2013, the day after Bhagwan's birthday, when Prashanti witnessed literally a feast of scintillating and soulful music. Scintillating and soulful music by an eclectic group of esteemed musicians from various continents. Yes, it was yet another marvelous performance of the International Sai Symphony Orchestra, the group that was initiated and constituted by Bhagwan himself more than a decade ago, and which continues to perform every year with a plethora of distinguished musicians belting out vibrant and serene Western music. I marveled at their performance that evening, and I just could not wait to speak to them after their program. I wanted to know about their inspiration, their preparation, their experience of his presence, the guiding force behind their soulful music. And fortunately, I was able to do that. I had the chance to speak to at least half a dozen of them. And they belong to various countries, from Switzerland to Japan to Russia to Italy to America. And this is what I'm going to share with you tonight. In the next 60 minutes or so, we will listen to some pieces of this beautiful concert, and also the impressions and reflections of these distinguished musicians. So that is what we will do now. But before we proceed, let us pause and offer our most loving and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we systematically wipe out little by little all that is not pure and not clean within us with discipline and determination, and become eventually a complete reflection of your being, of your love, of your presence. So with this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. You're listening to Thursday Live from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into
with Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
So that's another new offering on this birthday. Yes, our new Thursday Live jingle. Again, Anirudh and his team in studio came out with this on Bhagwan's birthday. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and you're continuing to listen to Thursday Live in Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. And you heard the Thursday Live jingle. And today, in this fresh episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside, we're going to have behind the beautiful international Sai Symphony Orchestra. What happened behind the scenes? So, let the concert begin. We start with a small clip of this beautiful orchestra.
Swami, it is such an honor and blessing for the musicians of the Sai Symphony Orchestra to be gathered again, and we thank you for bestowing this incredible blessing on all of us.
So that was the composition of Mozart, and in the end you heard Mr. Paul Erhardt from USA expressing gratitude to Swami for giving them this opportunity of making another offering of Sai Symphony Orchestra. In fact, Mr. Paul is one of the very senior members of this orchestra, having played in front of Bhagwan so many times. He plays the bass, and I caught up with him after this performance.
Sarah, Mr. Paul, and you've been part of so many Sai Symphony Orchestras over the years. How was it being present for Bhagwan's 88th birthday celebrations and making this offering to him?
Now, being here with Swami in a non-physical form, it's been wonderful just to be here, because my wife and I have been here already before the rehearsals began for 2 weeks. I should say tuning into Swami and feeling his presence and feeling his omnipresence, and having had some experiences in the past few years, and even recently, where we could definitely feel that he is very much with us. And coming here then and hearing from so many devotees and the people that are working here at the ashram, how they feel Swami's presence. And that confirmed what we'd been feeling. Of course, we want to feel Swami's presence. We want to believe that Swami is still there. And perhaps from the West, that concept is a little bit more difficult for us to embrace than, say, for people from India. Maybe, you know, we live far away and our life is so different and we're not surrounded with Veda and Bhajan every day. So coming here now, I came wanting to feel Swami's presence. My wife, we came with that desire, and we came with the desire to move forward. You know, I think all of us who come here make trips here. We want to grow, and we feel Swami taking us by the hand. And for all of us who come from abroad, you know, Swami says, you take one step towards me, I take 100 towards you. All my brothers and sisters who are gathered in this room who have come multiple times, or maybe for the first time, although I think everybody here has been here multiple times, we're making that step towards Swami, and I feel that he definitely responded. And for me, one of the things that I felt most grateful for as the orchestra rehearsals unfolded was feeling a oneness with everybody. You know, Swami says that we are all one. And I had a new experience of that, a new level of that, recognizing that there are the forms, but underneath all those forms, there's just this one current, this one love. That's all there is. And so for me, it was a real, I was very grateful that Swami gave me that experience. And I feel he gave me that experience too, to feel the oneness of everyone.
Fantastic. I mean, if through this unity of everyone around us to feel divinity, I think that is what Bhagavan always wanted, to see the God in the other person. And if music is aiding us in that endeavor, I think there is nothing more fulfilling than that.
That's right. And because everyone who's playing their instrument is doing it out of love. Music is something that we all come to because we love music. I think maybe also just because our hearts are open. And there's a loving nature to the musicians and an inclination toward that kind of experience in one's life. And so then when we're all together and playing for Swami, we have that thrill and wanting to feel that Swami is there with us. And it is a beautiful experience. And the rehearsals were interesting in that there were some definite challenges in getting everybody to play together. And I think, as our conductor mentioned, the students were having to learn a lot. And so the learning curve was quite steep for them. And I was confident, knowing them through my interactions with them over the years, I was confident that they would rise to the occasion, or should we better say that Swami was there and Swami had put them there and had full faith in them, and that Swami would take them where they needed to be, which ultimately they reached on the performance. And so I think that what devotees experienced in our concert yesterday, the level of perfection that was there, it was just so beautiful because they got there just in the nick of time. Because, you know, Swami, it was always sort of pushed to the last minute. And these boys had very little time to get prepared, and they had to learn so much. And technical mastery of their instruments, they had to grow so much, and they did it. And so the finished product of the concert, one would not have known that these boys had to learn so much in such short a span of time. And so that was a thrill for me and a joy to see that and to see that process and to see they were so grateful and so happy to be a part of the orchestra and have that experience. And they were telling me about that afterwards. And
so that itself was in some ways Bhagwan's presence.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
And you were saying that of late you've been having so many occasions when you're feeling his presence very strongly. So maybe if you can share just one anecdote about way back, wherever you are in the U.S., how you've been feeling him so strongly in your life.
I don't know. There's so many, really, and it's sort of a continuous flow. I can share one thing that happened. I'm here now. Actually, my official reason for being in India is on a Fulbright Nehru research grant, where I'm studying Indian music. And how this came about is there's a visiting professor, who Indian man, who teaches in New Haven. And last summer, so in 2012, my wife and sons and I were here for 3 weeks. And I was in the canteen just eating, and he came up to me and he said, "Have you applied for a Fulbright yet?" And this is something he's mentioned to me over the years, and I hadn't done that. And he said, "You should do it." So I didn't really think too much of it. And then about 3 days before the deadline, suddenly the thought popped into my head, August 1st is the deadline for the Fulbright. So I quick wrote out a grant proposal. I showed it to my wife, and she said, "I don't think so." She says, "Why don't you just do what you really care about, which is listening to sound, and my goal is this constant integrated awareness of truth." You know, Swami talks about constant integrated CIA. Anyway, to make a long story short, I then did a grant proposal on what I was interested in, how the tambura drone is used to help people listen to purity of pitch. and it was accepted. And then as the trip has now unfolded here in Chennai, I didn't really know what was going to be happening. Just one day beforehand, I felt I was put in contact with somebody who opened so many doors for me, actually through the principal of the music college here. And it's just been amazing, the sort of the interactions I've had and the openness that musicians have had to talk to me about their deep personal experiences with music. And I feel the way this has all unfolded, I feel Swami right there with me all the time. And to say where I know it's going, I can't say I know where it's going. Why I'm doing it, I can't say why I'm doing it. But I have full faith that there's a purpose and that it's going, that Swami's got his hand in here, and I don't need to worry about it. I just have to do my part. But I feel his presence. And just, like I said, the people that I've interacted with and the openness that they've had, and it's just been incredible. My wife comes to interviews with me, and we just get out after them, and you know, we both just look at each other and just say, wow, it's just incredible what we just learned and what people shared with us. Deep, deep, deep things.
Over these years, you have had chances of so many interactions with Bhagwan. Can you just share one cherished moment with Swami?
I can share the first one. It was in 1985, Christmas time. At this point, I had found out about Swami through my wife, and she had heard about Swami in 1977. And we had gotten married in June of 85, and her wish was that we come to India as soon as possible after we got married. And we did that, and we were in Whitefield. Swami was in Whitefield for 1 week, and I was sitting there in Darshan. And I got a front row, and I had our wedding picture. And I just was holding our wedding picture, and Swami came gliding across the sands and talked to a few people. Then he stood right in front of me, and he looked at the wedding picture, and then he just looked into my eyes, looked at the wedding picture again, looked into my eyes. I had a beard that day. I went behind the hostel after that and cut it off. But that I saw in his eyes, that immense expansiveness. It was so indescribable to me. That's what hooked me, because before that trip, I really didn't know much about Swami. I'd had seen a few videos, but I really didn't know much. But that depth and that sort of infinity, and that was an incredible experience.
Even though he didn't really speak with you, he didn't tell you anything, but so much was communicated, so much you experienced from that just one look.
Yes, from that one look. And that changed my life. And when I returned back to New York after 2 weeks, my whole professional life changed in a dramatic way, still with music, but doing something which I had never anticipated. And the job that I have, I could say fell in my lap. I sort of reached for something, but I have the job that I now have, which I've had for 28 years, which came right after the trip. My wife was still in India for 1 week, and between the time I returned and the time she returned, I had found out about the job that I now have, which was not at all what I was thinking about doing professionally. But it's been great.
But he's been guiding.
He's been guiding. And that job, yes, over the years people have asked, how do you have so much time to go to India? And as a university professor, I have summers and I have Christmas holidays, and we just have day classes out, I'm on the plane. And the day before classes begin, I'm back. Wow. There. And so we just stretch it to the limit all the time. But that first experience is, but there's been so many.
If someone were to ask you, what does Baba mean to you?
Baba means really be yourself. Really feel the depth of purity, light, and love that is your essence. Because that's what he wants us to see. You know, he said so many times, people come for this and that and this. So few people come for what I really want, you know, only a handful. And my prayer all these years has been that I want to be one of those handful that really wants what he has to give. And I've come to realize that what he wants is for us, he says it, to realize, you know, you are God, I am God. The only difference is I know it, you don't. And so what he really wants, it's so simple, he wants us to realize our own divinity and that pureness of who we really are. And so I'm so grateful to Swami because I feel that on this trip, I've gotten to a new level of that awareness with my brothers and sisters in the symphony orchestra. But just being who I really am, divorced of all the external trappings of my work and my identity and my upbringing and who I think I am because of circumstances, and just getting to the essence of who is really there, having nothing to do with anything else. And so you ask, you know, who is Swami? Swami is my teacher, and who is taking me deeper and deeper and deeper into myself to realize the essence that's there and the beauty that's there. And Swami is the perfect model. We, all of us, keep coming to see Swami because we come in and we see him and we just are so enthralled and we feel so good. Our hearts are open when we see Swami. And because our hearts are open to seeing Swami, our hearts are open to ourselves. So then by experiencing that, we start to see who's really there and who Swami is. And he just is that model, keeps showing us who we really are. He's just a mirror.
Amazing. It's been an amazing journey for you, and the journey continues.
The journey continues, and it's so exciting. I'm so happy, and I just feel just ever more and more expansive, and I feel younger and younger.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sayonara.
So that was a work of Italian composer Luigi Boccherini, and this symphony was actually a beautiful mix of many compositions like this, from the work of American composer Lero Anderson to the legendary Mozart to this one from the Italian classical era composer Luigi Boccherini, as I mentioned, to the music of the modern era Italian composer and musicologist Respighi. There were also music of Johann Strauss, the composer of light music from Austria. And putting together all these compositions and this team of over 30 people was the work of Mr. Umberto Frascati from Switzerland, the main organizer of this program. And he has been doing this right from the start of the formation of this international group. In fact, he is the chosen one by Swami to spearhead this entire musical endeavor. Let's listen to his story.
Sarah, Mr. Umberto, yesterday the performance in the Cyclone Hall was simply sublime and fantastic. Everyone liked it, be it students of Baba's University, to devotees from India, to devotees from Mauritius, to California, to Hawaii. Everyone loved it. And you were the one behind the scene organizing this entire performance, this entire offering of love for Bhagavan. So tell us how it all started and how it was bringing this group from so many countries so that you converge at the lotus feet and make this performance for Bhagavan.
First, let me tell you that behind all of the scene, there is mainly Bhagavan Sai Baba, because it was his plan to organize this orchestra, and it was his plan also to invite and to kindly make me understand that this was a job that I should do for him. So the starting point of this is that Swami really considered music a very important factor in the spiritual evolution, because music is a unifying mean that all humanity has in a confrontation world. You know, music is an international, worldwide, and accepted cosmopolitan way of expressing and to tune to each other. So the story is quite interesting, because it was Swami invited me to organize a new academy for teacher. And we found a place in Denmark, near Copenhagen. And he chose the place, and he say, you should make the inauguration with a nice concert. So at that moment, I spoke to him about a friend who was a conductor, which is not our conductor. And this was the man I chose to organize that for me, because I'm not a musician. But this conductor was waiting for a baby, the first baby in the family. So the wife was pregnant, and he could not come just the date that I had in mind for that inauguration. But there is an anecdote that I think is very nice to share with you. One day I arrived in Puttaparthi, and Swami came directly to me, and he said those words, 108 are too many. Mm-hmm. And of course I couldn't understand what he meant, but I know that Swami many times play with Leelas, and so I wondered to myself what that significance was in that message that he gave me. And as soon as the darshan was finished, there were two men arguing outside the mandir, and they were talking about the fact that the conductor, one of the two men, was the conductor of some concert that he was held in Puttaparthi, and this conductor was hoping to form an orchestra with 108 musicians, which 108 are, of course, the holy number, you know, the name of God. So I immediately understood that this was the message that Swami gave to me. So I said to this man, you know, Swami this morning came to you saying that 108 are too many and they cannot fit on the stage because the concert was held in Purnachandra. So from that moment, a few weeks later, Swami called me and said, you should organize the orchestra, the Swami orchestra, and make a concert for, I don't know if it was birthday or Guru Purnima. So all started from there.
Which year was this?
I think the first event was 2001. And I know the date quite precisely because it was roughly during the big event of the Twin Towers, which was on...
2001.
Yes, 2001. So this was between 2001 and 2002.
So that is how it all
this
started.
This is all started. Then I met Brother Paul Herard, and with the help of Dr. Goldstein, I got a very old list of musicians. I say very old because I phoned to each one of them, and many of them were not reachable. They changed their telephone number and so on. So it took a little bit of organization time and to retrace most of the musicians to organize the first concert.
Wow. What are your memories of the first symphony orchestra in front of Bhagwan?
The first concert was an outstanding emotion because Swami was really, you know, first of all, we had a little difficulty technically speaking. And Brother Klaus Maurer from Switzerland, which I contact because he was quite near where I live, and Geneva, Switzerland, where Klaus lived, is a city where I live myself for 9 years. And then with him, we built really, out of love and dedication, the first concert. And this, I think, Swami felt very strongly. So he treat us really like probably the best orchestra in the universe, because his kind attention and love, I think, was felt by everyone and each one of us.
Wonderful. So even after Bhagwan's passing, the symphony orchestra goes on, and you've been performing almost every year, even after 2011. How does it feel now?
Well, I think it doesn't make any difference to me. If I go deeply in my concept, there is no difference, because I've always been close with my heart and with my mind to God. So God in human form or God without human form, it doesn't make a big difference. God is God. And from my point of view, performing in front of the samadhi doesn't make any difference. Even I think it's even more strongly felt than when our beloved Lord was showing his love in human form.
What is the memory about this concert that you cherish, that you preserve in your heart, that you're taking with you as you go back to your country?
You know, in Italy we say, l'unione fa la forza. So the memory of this concert was the dream that I had for many, many other situations since I come here in Puttaparthi. And that is to say that if all the people unite together, especially the devotees, then any target, any achievement is possible. We have thousands of examples when Swami built the hospitals or the schools or whatever, you see all the devotees working together. So this concert, I had a little bit more difficult than usual to put together the musician, and we were a section which were totally lacking. So I asked the help of Dr. Reddy to get students to help us to complete the orchestra. This was possible through the love of the registrar of the university, which I thank, and the student themselves. And then we had to face another little problem, which was the short time we had to organize, distributing the music and the scores. And so when we came here, the fantastic job was all held by our conductor, Dr. Kohler, that was able to take the student, and within a few days, with their love and dedication, he was able to have them perform to a very nice level of and quality of sounds.
Wow. So what is your vision for this orchestra as the years go by?
Well, this question I put to myself many times. I think, you know, we have to leave the message of Swami, and in doing so, all around the world, we seek to have the opportunity to speak to the heart of people. In order to do that, we organize lecture, meeting, congress, conference, and so forth. So I believe, as I say before, that music is a universal language. And I think it will be very important before those conference and meeting are held to have music perform. Music, sometimes is not possible to sing bhajan, for example, in a city. If you have a conference in New York, you know, cannot start really with a 15-minute bhajan. Or eventually you can, but I think if you put into the event also a concert, then I think the attention of the people would be higher than without. So to form a large amount of devotees, organize it into an orchestra like the International Sai Symphony Orchestra, it's possible that we can reach that goal. Of course, it's not so close, but we can try to do that. And then having every city, every corner of the world have enough musicians to have the concert. This is my dream.
Wow. So basically, you will want to take the message of Swami of unity and divinity through music, through the Sai Symphony Orchestra to different parts of the world.
Yes.
Wow.
This will be a cooperation with the people who are then spreading the message through the subject treated in a conference, for example.
Wow. Beautiful. So music as a means to reach God.
Yes, correct.
And bring unity in the world.
Yes.
Wonderful.
If I may add something, I was surprised yesterday. About 30 minutes after the end of the concert, let's say a little bit more because, you know, it takes time to go out from the temple, I was on my computer and I received the link. In the link there was also already 2/3 of the concert. It was missing only the final part. And within minutes, I look how many people were linked and saw on YouTube the concert. There were almost 1,400 people saw the concert on YouTube.
Yes, and the number has doubled if you see now.
I'm sure.
So many people want to watch it again and again.
I'm sure,
and definitely, yes. It is doing that job of taking Bhagwan's message,
yes,
through music.
Yes.
And it's such a beautiful initiative. And Bhagwan blessed you with this chance. And he got associated you in this such noble mission. And really, thank you so much for organizing this and for sharing all this with us.
This is really the minimum help I can make. And to musicians are now like my brothers and my body, myself. So all of them, I receive so many compliments, which I try to convey to every one of them. Many of the orchestra yesterday were youth. Many of them, they are going back to their school or to their family. And this is the importance, the message that they got, the experience that they got in doing this.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So that was a score of Respighi, the Italian composer and conductor. And you heard Umberto mention that one of the highlights of this year's concert was the participation of Bhagwan students, how they seamlessly merged into this group and by divine grace turned from amateurs to professionals in just a week. Paul Erhardt from US also mentioned the same thing. One always is thrilled at Bhagwan's marvels when one sees his students, and it happens time and again. In fact, there were many marvels in this orchestra. The young members in the orchestra were not only Bhagwan's students, but also youngsters from other countries as well. I had this lovely opportunity to speak to Jumsai Ayudhya, a young musician from Thailand who is doing his second year in college now, and he was so filled with love and gratitude. When I asked him, what drew you to Baba? He said, years ago, I saw Baba, and during that first darshan, I don't know what happened to me. I simply started crying. Tears just flowed unceasingly, just continuously. I don't know why. I don't know what happened to me. I don't know which dam within me broke. That's it. I was just in tears. And I just began to love him. I simply like him. I don't know why. This is all he said. And I asked him, how did you feel about this performance? What is it that you're taking from this place as you return to Thailand? And he said, the only overwhelming experience I have, what I have experienced, is love. I was surrounded with love all the time. I have learned so much from so many generous and distinguished, kind, elder musicians, and I'm going back with my heart overflowing with love for the Lord, and I want to share this love with everyone. Interestingly, I heard similar sentiments from another youngster, Yashodhara Lenhardt. She's from Switzerland, and she too, just like Jumsai, this was her first participation in Sai Symphony Orchestra, and she said she now returns to her country, to Switzerland, with beautiful memories. And the sentiments exactly as Jumsai. I managed to get 10 minutes with her. Listen to this, please.
Sairam Yashodhara, thank you so much for coming to the studios. This is the first time you're part of the symphony orchestra, that's what I understand. So tell us, how is it being part of this beautiful musical offering to Bhagwan?
It was great. It was not my first time that I am here. And I was already here before with the orchestra, just listening, because my dad was playing the violin many times before. So I already knew some people, some faces as well, but from long time ago. But it was the first time to be an active part. And as well, it was the first time where I took my violin again, because I started playing when I was maybe 7 or 8, very early. But it was never me being the violinist. And because of that, I was never practicing. I just went to classes, and my parents always said, just go on, you will be happy at one point that you did not stop. And when I stopped school, so I finished with my classes too. And I was traveling the last 2 years, and I went to South America. And I think it was always there where I rediscovered music in mm-hmm. this way. Just suddenly I got very fascinated about musicians in general and music. And just to see that they really are the musicians and they really live and play the music from their heart. Maybe they just play on the street and nobody's listening, but they just play and they really are the music. And it's fascinating to see. Maybe they play for only one person and they play for God. And I got very fascinated about this, and I wanted to do something like the same. So I started taking piano classes, and I think through this I really got the joy of it, and I felt I was not a really good pianist, so I just played some things, like one song I know, and I learned it by heart, but I could play it every day, and it made me happy because I really was playing this song. It was not difficult, but it just made me filled with love and happiness. And after that I thought, so I could do what I already know, so it's the violin. And I was not planning to go here, but my dad, he just asked me to come here as well, because he was participating again after I think 5 years maybe. And I thought I could never do this, because as I was never a really professional violinist. But he said, you could try. And I just thought, everything is like working so perfectly, so I just come here. It just has to be. And that's why.
So you never expected that you would actually be performing in an orchestra like this, and it just happened.
Yes.
And you feel happy about it.
Yes, yes.
Has there been any change in the way you think about music, in the way you think about yourself and your music after this orchestra?
Yes, I think, well, it's a whole progress, I think. It's just to understand what is music about, actually, to really go into the detail of the music. And I think it was a great opportunity for me to be with this orchestra, because we are from so many different cultures, what I loved as well, because I was traveling and there was people from countries I know so well and that I love and relate to, and as well because we were many different levels of musicians, and it's just a great opportunity to receive so much, because from all people that have so much experience and in this surrounding as well, so, and to see that in this surrounding everybody is so open to give, because they want to give and receive. So it was great, and I got actually so much help from other from first violinists who helped to practice and really understand and do everything like in the little part, and to not just see the whole as a very difficult thing, but just in the little and do as possible, because it, for me, obviously was not possible to do everything perfectly, but in the small, just to do for yourself what you can do in this time and surroundings.
Yeah, so you just do your role to the best you can, and then everything else works out. And you said you've been coming to Puttaparthi even as a small child. So what are your memories of Puttaparthi?
Actually, when I came here, everything was quite the same. I remembered very much. Everything looked the same, but it was different, of course, because Swami is not in his body alive anymore in this. But as well, the people, because I know through my parents some people from here. But I think the special thing is because before I was a child still, I was, I think, maybe 13 or 14 when I came here the last time in with my parents. And now it's just already different because I have a different point of view myself. So it's good to connect with myself from this time before and with my family, and it was really great to be here.
Do you have any memories of your first visit when you were 13, 14 and you have come after that many years? What is it that you have liked about this place?
The first year was when there was the UNESCO conference. So I cannot really remember, but I remember we participated as well, the children, to some theater, and I think it was just giving some light to some little candles to some people. But for me, I think when I was a child, I did not really understand what is happening here, who is Baba, and I was just seeing everything like it was. I was not questioning how could I explain this or that, or why is this like this. It was just natural. It was just how it was. And I remember that it was difficult when I came home, as well the following years, to actually understand what it is, because you can not really tell others what it is. So I just always explained we were going to some place, and I always said the orchestra and the surrounding and the people. But now as I come here again, I see everything much clearer, and understand why I maybe did not like to come here because of exactly this, because I could not explain at home what is this place about.
Now, what is your understanding of this place and Baba?
I think all of us, we are here because we have to be here, because we need this place and the place needs us as well. So I think, and the place is not only here, but the people come here and they need to go home and share, and not in words, but just to go home and see everything that is here anywhere in the world, I think.
So you want to carry what is there in this place to everywhere else?
Yes.
Carry the fragrance of this place. And you think you can do that in some ways?
Yes, of course.
That's wonderful. I'm really tempted to ask you, how do you think you can take Prashanti and share Prashanti with everyone?
For example, when I was traveling more and more, I happened to live really strange coincidences and met people. I had met once like a year ago in some other country and I did not know from, and really strange things like this, and people that helped me with something, and it was just everything, like it began and it was more and more. And I think it's just to see this, that everything has, like the more you open to actually see this, the more it happens to you, I think.
Yes. Yes, I think it's a question of opening your heart more and more.
Yes.
And allowing someone, the force of God, to work more and more in your life. So that perhaps becoming more and more obvious to you. Wonderful. So as a teenager, has there been any change in the way you look at life and the way you think about life and you think about what is it that you want to do with your life?
Yes, I think I see that many people come here that maybe search something, and they want to feel something that they search at home or anywhere. And I think it's, and sometimes it happens that I think people come here and try to feel this, but it's actually not the place itself. It's maybe easy to be here and to live here and just feel this. But that's why I think it's important to go home and to share this as well. So it's not important where you are, but and what you do, but just to do it and really know that you do it, as to be a musician, for example.
Wonderful. What is your understanding of Baba now? What does Baba mean to you? Who is he for you?
For me, my parents brought me with them to Baba's place, and I don't know, it's just everything, he's still the same as when he was here. And through everything, through all words people are saying, and there's no difference to do if he's in this body or this picture or not. So the same, I think, if we play the orchestra in the end, in front of the samadhi, it's not no difference than we do it in the practices, for example, because he's there the same as he is in the mandir.
Yes, wonderful. So you always feel that he's there. He's there during the practice sessions and he's there in the final concert. And you have that belief, you feel that.
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Yes, I know.
So that was the vibrant, bubbly, lively farmer song, the Born Polka, a composition of Juan Strauss. And the audience, as you can imagine, as you heard their claps, their applause, they thoroughly enjoyed this. There were 10 musicians on the violin this time, and I was in fact surprised to see in this group Mr. Klaus Maurier, because Klaus Maurier was in fact earlier on many occasions the conductor of this orchestra, but this time I saw him playing the violin. And so I was eager to know from him why he chose this time to do music and not direct the music like many times before. And listen to what he says.
Sarao, Mr. Klaus Maurier, thank you so much for being in the studios of Radio Sai. We saw you perform so beautifully with the violin. And we have seen you earlier in Puttaparthi doing the job of a conductor for so many earlier symphony orchestras. So how is it this time playing and being this side of the orchestra and not on the other side?
Now this is very interesting for me. I'm fascinated about conductors' gestures and the possibilities you can do. And when I'm sitting in the orchestra, I look all the time at the conductor and I want to know what is his will, what he wants to do with the orchestra, and I want to do my best to follow his gesture. So it's very interesting for me.
And when you were doing the job of a conductor, I remember those scenes, you were so expressive and so vibrant, and there was so much of energy which really radiated from your being to everyone. It was really a wonderful job. How was the experience when you were doing the conducting earlier? What did you love the most about the job of a conductor?
It's like Umberto said yesterday, the element that united all the musicians was love.
Love.
The love from Swami, and this was very profound.
Wonderful. So you had yesterday a beautiful mix of so many compositions. You had Mozart, then you moved to Respighi, you went to Juan Strauss. So was there any thought process behind choosing these different compositions and sequencing in that order?
Actually, I think the program is chosen by Umberto, who organizes and gathers all the musicians from the whole world, and our conductor, Michael. And I was so glad to see that in this program there was Mozart. And I think the essence of Mozart's music is sun. And I thought the public could get this message. I thought the applause was very warm.
Yes. And then when you moved to Golden Years of Anderson, it was so sublime and so serene. That was a very beautiful experience. So what is it is really the most cherishable moment for you about this trip, about this concert?
For me, the highlight was really that we could integrate Indian musicians, wind players, and I think they really gave their best. They got the music very late, and it was really not easy program, but at the end, really, the level was so good that I hope this is developing more and more. And we, all the time, we had two Indian musicians, Shankar and the oboe player, and I followed year by year their progress. They are tremendous. Actually, the oboe player, he has to give one tone to the whole orchestra, and the orchestra tunes with this A, and it's very difficult to have a nice tone and keep the sound pitch steady. And it was so nice how he did this.
Wow, so you really loved the Indian musicians and the students of Baba's University joining
this. This is for me the highlight.
Wonderful.
I myself adore Indian music. For 3 years I studied tablas, so I really like this music, and I appreciate so much the Indians trying to approach our culture.
Wonderful. As a senior member of the Sai Symphony Orchestra, what is it you think you are trying to communicate to everyone through your music, through Sai Symphony Orchestra?
It is so wonderful to see that in the orchestra we have all ages, we have all nationalities, and there is a lot of help. Our concertmeister Kyoko, she always helps and works with students, and this is marvelous. So at the end, this difference is not seen.
Yes.
We are one.
That is what symphony is all about. Mm-hmm. There is no individual. In the end, it is just one. Only one music that comes out. And it's not only the music, but you said it was also the feeling with which the whole program was brought together. Let me ask you something about your relationship with Baba. What is it that you really like about Baba? What fascinates you about Swami?
I was introduced by one of my friends, Ruben Barros. He plays clarinet, and he organized an Indian tour for his yoga class. So I did all this tour and ended in Bhutapati. So I am Protestant, and religions are rigid. They are dogmatic, and they tell you what to believe in and what not is not good. So at the first time, it was not easy for me, but then very quickly I understood this is opening up. Religions are boundaries and limitation, but God is one and there is no limit. And this is Baba.
The whole expansive feeling of love. Baba says, love is expansion. And that is what you felt, the universal aspect of God, the universal aspect of Baba. Wonderful. And if people in your country ask you about Baba, ask you about your trip to Puttaparthi, what do you say to them?
I try to find out what is their background. If I feel they take Baba like a guru, among others, then I say, okay, it's better to talk about God instead of, not all people know that Sai Baba is really avatar and it's actually Godfather we pray to. And for the Protestant and Catholic Church, there is Jesus and Godfather never seen, but God manifests himself all the time. So for me, there's no problem about this, but when I talk to people, I try to find out what is their background. Can they bear this message or not?
Your conviction about Baba's divinity is solid.
It's all. The one, it's, there is nothing else. Every gesture I do without his benediction, I cannot do. Every breathing I do, anything, there is nothing I can do on my own.
Wonderful. He has permeated you and he works through you. Music also is his. Anything else you would like to say to all brothers and sisters?
What was interesting, in Geneva where I lived, I had experiences given by Baba before I knew even Baba exists. So I had in my life, first marriage was really very difficult, terrible. Ended up with divorce, could not be otherwise. Then I felt really stranded in the desert, abandoned, alone, desperate. And for more than 1 year I was in prayer. But then one day I said to God, you can give me a wife if you want, you know, the whole globe. Then I was walking down the street and in front of me the sky turned red like Baba's dress. And this was not only color, this was warmth, and this was love, and this was protection, and was saying, don't worry. And this I felt so strong. So I didn't know at that time about Swami. Then I had an accident with skiing in the winter, and I fell between two rocks, and the shock was so big, so harsh, so brutal, that I thought, okay, you might be in a wheelchair. And when I realized I could stand up, I cried, and I saw in my pocket Baba's picture.
Wow. So he's been there all the time, protecting you and guiding you. Beautiful. Anything else you want to say about your relationship with Baba?
It is our light, it is our hope, it is our all.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Sairam. Sairam.
That was Leroy Anderson's Golden Years. Leroy Anderson, American composer. And Golden Years, a very sublime, flowy, serene piece. And this, in fact, was a welcome change after the lively farmer song, the polka song. And as always, the 10 violinists did a marvelous job. And they were supported with 3 cello players, 2 on the viola, coming out to the wind instrument, there were 4 on the clarinet, 2 on the trumpet, 2 on the trombone, 1 on the flute, and so on, percussion and etc. I managed to speak to one musician who was on the cello, Miss Anna Svets from Russia. She's someone who has participated earlier and who never wants to pass up an opportunity to be at Bhagwan's lotus feet and do whatever she can for Swami.
Sarah, Miss Anna Svets, and thank you so much for being in the studios of Radio Sai. You were one of them playing the big cello along with 3 others and so beautifully producing beautiful music on the November 24th evening. So how was it being part of this concert and playing in front of Bhagwan for this 88th birthday?
It's very great when we play together because I like our orchestra, I like feelings because we have many love. And we play with love. It's very, very fantastic, I think, because many people can feel this. And it was the same that when Swami was near last our concert, I think I feel the same feelings. And I was happy to do it because Swami give, we can do something for Swami and for people. We are not travel, only travel. Swami let us play do some seva. Maybe it's better for transformation and for all. I think it's very nice.
Wonderful. So music is your form of service to Baba. In what ways Baba has changed your life? Because now you are thinking so much about serving Baba, doing something for Baba. How did this transformation happen?
I don't know, but I only feel inside me some transformation. I like to be better more and more time. I think I don't speak so much all our people about Swami. But when my friends and other people speak with me and day by day near me, they feel energy, they feel maybe my light, I don't know, maybe Swami light, they can feel it, and I think they understand that something happened inside me, maybe some transformational, they can feel. And because many people ask me, okay, you travel to India, and what? You travel, and what? I think can do something. They can feel. They can open the heart and feel and to be clear. And maybe they can understand all. Because we can speak many about all. But if you have a light near you, all people can feel and can understand maybe more.
They have to experience it. You can't really communicate everything through words. They have to experience it, and you have experienced it. Wonderful. What is it that always drew you to Baba? What is it that always pulled you to Baba? You have come so many times.
Yes, I come so many times, but I like do it very much. Because when Umberto sent me mail about, okay, we will have concert to Swami, I never think more time. Because I think it's a Swami invitation, Swami invite us, and okay, I will do it. I like do it. I love do it. And I come because I love all what we have. I love is not only our concert. I like our rehearsal, our group, all what we can do, our practice. I like it because we have not many time for rest. We have not many time, but it's good because Swami need our what we can do.
Yes.
Yes. I think it's very good.
So it's really lovely coming together as a team and doing something for Baba for his birthday. Yes. And you want to be always part of it.
Yes. And it's second time I travel with my mother, and she liked it very much. She was when I was first time, she was with me. It was 8, 9 ago, but she missed many times. She missed come to Swami. Yes, very missed. And now I'm happy because we travel together, and my family is. I live with my mother, but it's very good atmosphere in our house, and many people come to us, many friends, and like to be near. I think it's Swami.
In so many ways, your life has changed. Your life has transformed.
I cannot explain how many, but transformed, but I cannot explain what really was transformed.
You feel good?
Yes, I feel very good.
What is it you really like about Baba and about being in Prashantinilayam?
I like feel love, many, many love I feel. I like it very much, and I feel it's not only love outside. I like to feel many love inside me too. When I stay here, I feel many love and many light, and I like it very much.
You have been a lover of God. You've been praying to Jesus possibly right from your childhood. You were brought up in a Christian background.
For me, Swami is God, and for me, it's not so important.
So for you, He's everything?
Yes.
Swami is everything?
Yes.
Wonderful. So what is it you really like to say to all brothers and sisters who could not watch it live, but now they are listening to you, and you are someone who have come all the way from Russia? What is it that you would like to say to all Sai brothers and sisters as you leave Puttaparthi in a couple of days? What are the feelings in your heart now as you go back to Russia after staying in Puttaparthi for so many days?
The same feelings, love, love and light, and more happy to stay here. Maybe I'm sure that I will love, I will come next time if I will need. And when I will come back at home, I like to be better, I like to, I don't know, anything.
You want to come back? You want to come back again?
Yes, yes, of course, I'm sure that I will do it.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Saram.
Saram.
So that is how this memorable concert ended, with three lovely bhajans. Swami Son, Govinda Krishna Jai, and then Hari Om Namah Shivaya, and finally you heard just now a glimpse of Subramanyam Subramanyam. So it started with a bang with Mozart and it ended with a bang. And the audience was simply ecstatic. The one who was conducting this entire concert was the ebullient musician from Germany, Mr. Michael Kohler. I was keen to know his impressions about this concert, because he is one of the principal entities who put together this musical offering so efficiently and effectively, because they really had very little time, just 5 or 6 days to practice in Prashanti. And listen to what he says about this performance.
Sarah, Michael Kohler, and yesterday, after the fantastic performance, you had this round of applause, and the applause was not ending. You know, people are constantly clapping again and again. It went on for extended session of applause. So how was it for you being in that moment?
Sayam, it was really amazing, awesome. We did not expect that kind of applause. We did not expect, and I was really overwhelmed because it was so much applause. It was rhythmic applause.
Yes.
We did not know in that moment what to do. We wanted to play an encore, but we were so pleased, we did not know what to do. Yes, it was a real situation.
And you had musicians from so many countries and so many strings and winds, instruments, just like any symphony. So how was it organizing and, you know, trying to bring together and bringing that melody? And how much time did you really have to bring all this together and make that beautiful offering to Swami?
Organizing was not all only done by me, okay? Mr. Umberto Frascati has done the organization. Well, my part is more the music part. I had to send all the music to prepare for the preparation for the musicians. And then I came here 1 week before the concert took place. And we came together on Monday morning only. All the people came in here before, prepared a little in sections, and I came here on Monday morning. And you know, it's a great orchestra. At the first rehearsal, it's a lot of organization. You have to organize the sections, you have to organize the music parts, the sitting, all the tuning. You have to imagine there are so many musicians from all corners of the world, and you can't believe it's so different how they play and what they expect. Yes. And therefore, it's a really process of unification, to come together, to come in one mind, and to find the own style you can perform for Swami.
So how was it for you conducting in Prashantinilam? You have conducted music and symphonies, I think, so many other places of the world. How was it being in Prashantinilam?
It's a very special and unique feeling. If you come to the rehearsal hall in Zurich, because we start always with arms, and the musicians try to come in atmosphere together and to have the rehearsal in that way. And then this is really different from usual rehearsals we have, because everybody is motivated at a very high level. Everybody wants to give what he can and give his best, and it's very easy to have these rehearsals because everybody is motivated. Wow. Yeah, they have the rehearsals even longer if they want, if there's any problem, technical problem or anything, they have the rehearsals longer. And we had 3 rehearsals a day, and there was no lack in motivation.
So everyone is motivated because of the love for Bhagwan.
Yeah.
And that was your motivation too.
Yeah, it's my motivation too. It's wonderful to feel this, because it's a really unique and blessed situation.
So how did this love for Bhagwan happen in your life, with you?
In my life? I came here many years ago in 1999. In 1999 was a very short visit. I was on a tourist trip to India because I was interested in culture. And then I was in London. I came in touch movies. But my first experience was I had a teacher, as a conductor in Munich, and he had this bracelet materialized by Bhagavan in the 70s. And I always was wondering, what's this clinging ding when he conducted. And this was my motivation to come here and fell in love.
And how was it when you first time saw Baba?
The very first contact was when he looked at me, and that was the very first motivation. Yes, to come in touch with his eyes.
What is it that you're taking from this year's concert? What is it that you're going back with in your heart?
The experience is not really different from the other, but the atmosphere was very nice atmosphere between the musicians, very harmonious atmosphere, and to have this lovely working together, this was a special experience this year, and have these musicians from all over, this is not very different from the other years.
You had students also joining the symphony. How was that?
It was the first time we had the students in. This was a special, very special experience, and they were very, very kindly, and they joined as have they with us before, or has been with us before, because at the beginning they had not played before in the Western Orchestra, and we looked each other, vice versa, but then we worked in sections. They were very lovely. It was very easy and nice working together.
Suppose Baba just appears now and tells Michael, I'm very happy with your concert. You did such a wonderful job. What do you want? What are you going to say?
Only please.
Only please.
Only please.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yeah, thanks.
So that is what the conductor of this orchestra, Michael Kohler, had to say. What do you want? He says, only please. That is all he wants from Bhagwan. I am in fact reminded of what was written on the flyer that was distributed just before this orchestra began. There was a quote of Bhagwan, and it said, music is the instrument by which passions are sublimated, emotions are tamed, and impulses are directed to higher purposes. And I could really completely relate to this, because as this concert was going on, I was sitting in the Mandir veranda, and next to me was seated our senior brother Ravi Kumar, the gifted, very senior singer of Prashanti Bhajan Group. And after the concert ended, he just looked at me and said, this music simply transported us, isn't it? And I just looked at him. I had no words to express what I was feeling. I just nodded. Music does magic. And the more purer it is, the more magical it is. And when it is absolutely pure, it is absolutely divine. Music is divine. And we have the Sai Symphony Orchestra taking this medium of music to spread the fragrance of divinity. What can be nobler than this? And what is the message for us? The message for us is, the more pure we are, the better channel we become of His music and His love. Can there be anything greater than being the channel of His love and presence? than being an instrument so in one with the source that people cannot tell the source from the medium. Let us strive towards this goal. Let our lives become a symphony of love and peace, of loving and sharing, of caring and giving. With these thoughts, dear listeners, I will leave you tonight. It's time to draw the curtains on the Thursday Live program. I'm Team Radio Sai's Vishu. Please feel free to send your feedback. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Finally, from all of us, on behalf of all of us at Radio Sai, I take this opportunity to make this humble offering of our day-long programs at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and also request you to share whatever you feel about this program by writing to us. And even as I sign off now, you will continue to listen to a drama entitled 8 Jewels. This was presented by the devotees from Thailand on 25th May 2013 during Buddha Purnima celebrations in Prashant Nilayam. So keep listening and keep ruminating on His name and His form. Let our lives resonate with His love and His music. Thank you so much for being with us all through the day. And finally, a sweet good night and loving Sairam from Prashantinilayam.